Shalom, אנחנו לומדים מספר.
We are reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot, volume 2, page 459 in Hebrew. You can watch our lesson at kab.tv and send us your questions. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Talmud Esra Sefirot, the study of the Ten Sefirot, volume 2, page 459 in Hebrew, item 30. Thus, the main operations added to the emanation of Ma and Bon were explained here. Let us briefly explain them in an ordinary manner. Because of it, Pashtut, of the expansion of the lower nine of Sag below Tabur de Akapnimi, the inner Ak, illuminating to the Kelim de Nehi de Akapnimi, the inner Ak, the two Hain became cohesive and connected. This is because the Or Sag is Bechinat first Hay, and Nehi de Ak Hapnimi, the inner Ak, is the lower Hay. Thus, when the matter of the Hizdekhut, purification of the Masach, returned to Partsuf Sag as well, the Masach was found to be consisting of two Partsufim here, Partsuf Sag and Partsuf Galgalta, raising them together to the Rosh de Sag, to Nikve Enaim, meaning to Bechin Aleph from there. Because the Lord Hay is not in its place, but was incorporated and united with the first Hay, meaning the first Hay received and became Bechinat Lower Hay, hence the Zivug was made on the first Hay alone. Consequently, two zivugim were made there, one for the zachar, male, and one for the nekeva, female. However, the primary zivug occurred in the bechinat nekeva, female, which is bechina aleph. This is because she is complete with bechinat hamshacha, extension too, from which there is Hitpashtut, expansion to the Kelim. When the Aviyut, the goof in the Masach, was recognized, it departed from Rosh the Sag and descended to its corresponding Bechina in the goof, being Tabur the Akapnimi. This is because there begins the place of the Lor Hei contained in the Masach, and there it mated with the Orelion, the upper light, and the ten Sefirot, the Rosh, called Yesut, elicited from Tabur upwards. Bina, Zer'an Pin, and Malchut of that Rosh already stand below Tabur, because the Lor Hei stands at its Chochmah, which is also the place of Tabur. And the Sefirot below Chochmah stand from Tabur down. Also, they are the Garden Nikudim, meaning the course of the core of the Rosh, the Nikudim. This is because the first Rosh is not at all considered Nikudim, as the Lor Hei in the Masach is below it, and the Aviyut, coarseness, does not operate whatsoever from below upward. Hence, it is considered Akudim, the Sag. For that reason, Gar of Nikudim remained the Bechinat Rosh of Nikudim, named Rosh Habet, the second Rosh. This second Rosh has ten Sefirot too, divided by Gar. Galgalta and Enaim are incorporated in Keter, and Achap are in Chochmah, in Bina. The Lor Hei is in Keter, which is Bechinat Rosh Habet, the second Rosh. And Chochmah and Bina, which are Achap, departed from Rosh Habet, from the second Rosh, into Bechinat Chagat, meaning Bechinat Guf. You find in them that the Lor Hei in the Enaim and the Yud Kevav in these Achap, meaning the Lor Hei does not shine anything in these Achap, which are Chochmah and Bina. Instead, they are only Bechinat first Hey. The tikkun, the correction of the parsa, is on this second Rosh, where there are two corrections. The first is that the two Hein contained in it are diagonal, meaning that a frishing of the parsa is sometimes possible there. At that time, the two hein separated from one another, and the lower hey descended from there downward below Malchut of this Rosh, as Kamatz under Otiot Yud Kei Vav. The second is to hide and conceal at that time the force of the lower hey that stands at Nikve Enaim of the first Rosh with a tight connection with the first hay. It is so because had it not been for that concealment, it would have been impossible for the lower hay of the second Rosh to descend below the Otiyot letters. Here was the root for the state of Katnut of the Partsufim made, meaning a possibility of ascent and gadlut. However, it can never be that it would also diminish more than the Kumat Katnut that was in it. This guard extends by the force of the Lor Hei in Nikve Enaim of the first Rosh, tightly connected there with the first Hei. Also, the state of gadlut extends from the Lor Hei in Nikve Enaim of the second Rosh. Two operations were made in order to beget the Gadlut the Nikudim. The first, for the Rosh of Nikudim, whereby the Zivug, the Absag, the Lor Hei in the Enaim that stood above Chochmah and Binah, which are Yud Kei Vav, descended and went under this Otiot Yud Kei Vav. In that, the Chochmah and Binah returned to the second Rosh, and the Yud Kei Vav that were Chagat rose and became Chabad. This is called Hitlapshut, clothing Nehid the Keter in Chochmah and Binah. The second operation was for the Zat, which are the true Guf, the Nikudim. Yesod the Ak illuminated the point of the Lor Hei inside the Otiot with the Chochmah in Bina the Nikudim as Melafom, which is a point in the Vav. They became man in Chochmah in Bina and mated on them, begetting the Zat the Nikudim. This will be explained in the next part.
Understood? Not so much. Who understands?
Ata Yochai.
You, Yochai.
Ma.
What?
Good morning, Rav.
Good morning.
First of all, what is the first hey, the lower hey? What are these?
Hey, Shona, the first hey is Bina, the lower hey is Malchut. You have Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei, right?
Yes, like Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Zeranpin.
We have Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut, right? Keter is the tip of the Yud. Chochmah is Yud. Bina is the upper Hey. Zeranpin is Vav. And Malchut is the lower Hey. Is that understood?
Yes.
The whole thing is then what's happening between Malchut and Bina.
Ech mi Malchut. Ole.
How from Malchut rises a desire of Yud.
Of Yud. Ve'ech mibina.
And how from Bina
magia
comes
dakut.
Purity.
So,
that's it.
Oshpa.
Or bestowal. And from Malchut, reception.
Think.
Think about it. We'll soon read again. This is something we need to understand well. Please.
Again, item 3. Thus, the main operations added to the emanation of mind born were explained here. Let us briefly explain them in an ordinary manner. Because of the itpashtut, expansion of the lower nine of sag below tabur the ak apnimi, inner ak, illuminating to the kelim of nehi, the ak apnimi, the two hein became cohesive and connected. This is because the osag is bechinat first hey, and he the ak apnimi, the inner ak, is the lower hey. Thus, when the matter of the hizdekhut, purification of the masach, returned to partsuf sag as well, the masach was found to be consisting of two partsufim here, partsuf sag and partsuf galgalta, raising them together to rosh the sag to nikve nine, meaning to bechina aleph from there. Because the lower hay is not in its place, but was incorporated and united with the first hay, meaning the first hay received and became bechinat lower hay, hence the zivug was made on the first hay alone. Consequently, two zivugim were made there, one for the zachar, male, and one for the nekeva, female. However, the primary zivug coupling occurred in the bechinat nekeva, female, which is bechina aleph. This is because she is complete with bechinat hamshacha, extension to, from which there is hitpashtut, expansion to the kelim. When the aviyut de guf in the masach was recognized, it departed from rosh the sag and descended to its corresponding bechina in the guf, being tabu of the inner ak. This is because there begins the place of the lor hei contained in the masach, and there it mated with the Or Elyon, upper light, and the ten sefirot de Rosh, called Yesut, elicited from Tabur upwards. Bina, Zeranpin, and Malchut of that Rosh already stand below Tabur, because the lower hay stands at its Chochmah, which is also the place of Tabur. And the sefirot below Chochmah stand from Tabur down. Also, they are Gar de Nikudim, meaning the core of Rosh de Nikudim. This is because the first Rosh is not at all considered Nikudim, as the lower He in the Masach is below it. And the aviyut, coarseness, does not operate whatsoever from below upward. Hence, it is considered akudim, the sag. For that reason, gar of nikudim remained the bechinat rosh of the nikudim, named rosh abet, the second rosh. This second rosh has ten sefirot too, divided by gar. Galgalta and Naim are incorporated in Keter, and Achap are in Chochmah and Bina. The Lor Hei is in Keter, which is Bechinat Rosh Abet, the second Rosh. And Chochmah and Bina, which are Achap, departed from Rosh Abet, the second Rosh, into Bechinat Chagat, meaning Bechinat Guf. You find in them that the Lor Hei in the Enayim and Yud Kei Vav in this Achap, meaning the Lor Hei, does not shine anything in this Achap, which are Chochmah and Bina. Instead, there are only Bechinat first Hei. The Tikkun, the correction of the Parsa, is on this second Rosh, where there are two corrections. The first is that the two Hein contained in it are diagonal, meaning that a fissuring of that Parsa is sometimes possible here. At that time, the two Hein separated from one another, and the Lor Hei descended from there downward below Malchut of this Rosh, as Kamatz under Otiot Yud Kei Vav. The second is to hide and conceal at that time the force of the Lord Hay that stands at Nikve Enaim of the first wash with a tight connection with the first Hay. It is so because had it not been for that concealment, it would have been impossible for the lower hay of the second Rosh to descend below the Otiyot. Here was the root for the state of Katnut of the Partsufim made, meaning a possibility of ascent and Gadlut. However, it can never be that it would also diminish more than the Kumat Katnut that was in it. This guard extends by the force of the Lor He in Nikve Enaim of the first Rosh, tightly connected there with the first He. Also, the state of Gadlut extends from the Lor He in Nikve Enaim of the second Rosh. Two operations were made in order to beget the Gadlut, the Nikudim. The first, for the Rosh of Nikudim, whereby the Zivug, the Absag, the Lor He in the Enaim that stood above, which stood in Keter, above Chochmah and Binah, which are Yud, Kei, Vav, descended and went under these Otiyot letters, Yud, Kei, Vav. In that, Chochmah and Binah returned to the second Rosh, and the Yud, Kei, Vav that were Chagat rose and became Chabad. This is called Hitlapshut Nehi, clothing of Nehi the Keter in Chochmah and Binah. The second operation was for Zat, which are the true Guf, the Nikudim. Yesod De'ak illuminated the point of the Lor He inside the Otiyot within Chochmah and Bina de Nikudim as Melafom, which is a point in Vav. They became man in Chochmah and Bina, mated on them, begetting the Zat de Nikudim. This will be explained in the next part.
Yes.
I don't understand. He writes that there is a zivug for Zachar and Nekeva, male and female, two zivugim for Rosh Desak, for male and female. And he says that this is the second Rosh, which is Keterin and Abba Be'ima. And here in the middle, he puts in Rosh of Yesud. So I don't understand the sequence of action. After the zivug of Zachar and Nekeva descends to Rosh Tabor in order to elicit the Rosh of his suit. Can you explain that?
Yes, just not here. We'll have to move to the questions and answers. Yes, more? Yes.
About the drawing. Can I ask about the drawing?
Yeah, yeah.
If Malchut rises to Bina, why should she resemble Keter as well? Isn't it enough to just to rise to Bina?
No, Bina only receives from there an addition of qualities that she lacks to reach the Keter.
And what lets her resemble Keter?
Specifically what she receives from Bina.
So why should she resemble Keter? Why isn't Bina enough?
No, Malchut cannot realize herself in Bina, because Bina is only a force of bestowal, or you can say an intention to bestow. Because she has no force, she only wants to resemble the Ketel, but she has no oviyut, coarseness. When Malchut connects to the Bina, she receives from the Bina the intention to bestow, then she begins to resemble Ketel. Bina also has no desire. Only Malchut has a desire, power, something it can do with itself. Bina is chafetz chesed, delighted in mercy. It's no different from the Keter. It's no different. It's just that Keter bestows, Bina doesn't, but it's in Chafetz Chesed. It has the same force that the Keter has, but with no power to it.
So what happens to Malchut, which resembles itself to Keter?
She corrects herself that way.
And what is added to her? Is there some addition here?
Malchut uses the force of Bina. She acquires the force of Bina, and according to her power of the will to receive she has, she then amplifies the force of Bina she acquires to the extent that she needs it in order to completely, fully become corrected and resemble the Keter.
So all the actions, Malchut activates them,
yes,
and Bina is in the standby?
Well, that's a question already. Who operates it? But surely the Keter operates directly or indirectly behind the scenes, it doesn't matter. But the carrier is the Malchut. She has to change until she becomes, through Bina, similar to Keter.
And Bina is in a standby throughout this whole process?
Bina has nothing of her own. She... say, if you don't activate Bina, she's then completely, it's like, I don't have a shirt and I don't want one. Either Keter has to operate her, or Malchut has to operate her. And she herself is just, a reservoir of a force of bestowal. More?
On page Tafnun Tet, he speaks of a tight connection between the lower hay and the first hay.
Yes.
And then he says that this is the root for the state of Katnut, which can never be diminished.
Right.
So what is this connection?
The connection between the lower hay and the upper hay is the connection between Bina and Malchut, by which Malchut begins to receive qualities from Bina, on the condition that Bina is restricted by Malchut and understands in what way she can communicate her qualities to Malchut. Malchut has to integrate with Bina. It's like you want to give a present to someone, so you have to integrate with his desire, his lack, his conditions, so you don't give him something that harms him, or it's just that he doesn't want. You have to integrate. So Bina is Bina, that's fine, but in Bina too, you have to break some natural quality she wants to bestow. It doesn't work. To know how to bestow, she has to know how to receive the qualities, the deficiencies that's in the one she wants to bestow. To Bina here too needs to go through some loss. In Bina too, there is a certain shattering. Why? What is it? To receive into her the force of Malchut and begin to feel what Malchut needs. And there are many actions here, because any quality in herself is whole, but in order to begin to work together in a corrected Havaya, then everyone has to be to integrate with everyone. And especially what belongs to Malchut and what belongs to Bina. Keter, to begin with, is included from everyone. But Bina, she doesn't want anything. Her wholeness is, how can you get into that? She wants everything, but in the way she wants. How do you convince her that what she wants, yeah, but you know, but she, can she fulfill herself or not? On the one hand, she can fulfill herself like in Malchut of Ensof, but otherwise, no. In a way similar to the Creator, she cannot fulfill herself. So then what can you do? What to do? So she has to undergo a certain inner shattering. It's not yet a shattering, but it's already a beginning. Making a restriction over herself when she departs from her nature and is willing to take upon herself some limitations and deformations and reformations. It's already a step towards the shattering. She still thinks she can integrate in that way with the Keter, correct herself, identify with him, but it's incorrect. Until she enters the shattering and integrates with all the qualities of Keter, through all the qualities of Malchut, and then begins to correct herself, so that in each and every desire we have both a part of Keter and a part of Malchut. Until then, you can't say that she has anything. No. Well, we will feel it. We'll come to feel it. The struggle and the connection, and as it says, both will go together, although they're opposite to begin with, the upper hay and lower hay. And how they connect, that needs to be learned. There's a lot of subtleties, subtle conditions there, and qualities.
Adam 30 in the beginning, he writes, because of the expansion of the bottom nine of Sag below Tabu of the inner Ark. Now, he means Nekudot the Sag, right?
Yes.
So why does he call them the bottom nine?
Because the moment Keter disappears, Gimel of Hitlapshut disappears, Chochma, and all the rest of the lights can appear below the Tabu. That's how it is. Besides, he considers Keter the upper Hay, the light of Tamim, so all the rest, which is Nekudot, can appear below the Tabu.
So why is it nine?
The lower nine Sfirot, that's how it's called, because the Keter is an expansion from above downwards, and the lower nine Sfirot is already from below upwards. The Keter is the relation of the emanator to the emanation. Yes, more?
The lower hay, this is the corrected form of Malchut. Which form is it exactly? Because every time he explains it differently in different places, so what does he mean here?
The lower hay here is the will to receive that appears in a clear way, but under the Masach, in Nehi of Ak. Nehi of Ak is the lower hay. The expansion of Malchut. And the Sag that descends there is the first hay. The Teamim of Sag cannot go down because they have Gimel of Itlapshut. Nekudot of Sag is literally the first hay that can go down to the lower hay. Now, well, there is so much to talk about both of them. Wow, that can be confusing. More questions? Don't be ashamed. Be shy.
This mutuality between Malchut and Bina, it happens through the second restriction?
No. Malchut and Bina, the connection between them is not from the second restriction, but from the four phases of direct light. When the first hay felt that it wants to resemble Keter because it has all the light of Chokhmah, but when she receives it, she's not like the Keter. Meaning, she has, in terms of her fulfillment, she has the entire light of Chokhmah. But in Keter, there's a question. Does it have the light of Chokhmah or not? Because let's say I own a restaurant and 1,000 friends come and I put before them everything I got joyfully, wholeheartedly. So the food I give them is in me? No, I have the desire to give them. It's not that the actual food is in me. So Keter is chesed. It doesn't have light of chokhmah. It has light of chasadim. If there's a need to bestow, fine, it has light of chokhmah. But its quality is chasadim. Then it created from that quality, Bchina Aleph, chokhmah, filled it with the light of chokhmah according to the desire that it created in it. Chokhmah is full. It has a will to receive that she received from the Keter, not from herself. And she is full of that light of Chokhmah. The Keter made it completely, just from head to toe, completely, entirely, that Partzuf or Bchina called Chokhmah happens, is formed entirely by the Keter. Now, sense from the Keter itself, there's a difference between what it has in terms of quality and what it has in terms of ability, that according to the ability, it bestows the light of Chokhmah, and therefore it created the Chokhmah in a will to receive. So in Chokhmah, we have a collision where I receive the desire to receive from the Keter, but the fulfillment, not from the will to receive of the Keter, but from the will to bestow of the Keter. And that creates a split in the Chokhmah. And that gives rise to Bina. Because of that gap, which comes from the highest degree, from the thought of creation, where on the one hand there is wholeness, on the other hand, if it wants to create creation, it's already existence from absence. It's already something opposite. And so Bina wants to complete what it sees as a flaw in the Chokhmah. What? A will to bestow. And then she herself, a will to bestow like the Keter, and the light of Chasadim, like Keter has. Only in Keter, there is his own Chasadim. Here, now, here it's already a vessel for the light of Chasadim, a desire for the light of Chasadim. And then it turns out that Bina is already a created being. Why? Since the desire created by the Creator, the Keter, now wants to bestow and be filled with the light of Chasadim. He wants it. Meaning, even though it's the light of Chasadim, but the desires of his own, he chose himself. But in Bina too, there is an incomplete form, which is a desire to bestow, and it's not like the Keter wants. The Keter wants to bring the light of Chokhmah from his own will to bestow, and the Bina cannot accept that light of Chokhmah, according to her desire to bestow. Meaning she sees again the flaw, this kind of this oppositeness between the desired and the existing state. How can she complete it? On the condition that there's a will to receive like the Keter wants, but also with the intention to bestow, like there is in Keter. And then she goes to build, what does she build? Zeranpin. Zeranpin is this very special mixture, a desire to receive that comes from the Chokhmah, and a desire to bestow that comes from Bina. That's why it's called small. It doesn't have a small will to receive. Its will to receive is just like in Malchut. Why is it considered small? Because it didn't decide on it. Because Bina did. And that's why she gives birth to it. But really, its will to receive is a will to receive. And then only in Malchut, where the Zeranpin consists of these two parts, can then make a decision that I wish to receive on my own, and I have no calculation with the will to bestow. Because according to the will to bestow in me too, if I'm going to receive, my reception of 100% will be to bestow. And so now I open up the will to receive fully, all the way. And so it turns out that Zeranpin belongs to Bina. It's like the Zat of Bina and Zeranpin with respect to Malchut. What does Bina want to give birth to? A will to receive. A will to receive that will receive everything, all the goodness from her. And also, the will to bestow it will have, will also become a will to receive. As long as it's for his good. And it turns out that Malchut is entirely a will to receive, in addition to the will to receive that existed still in Keter and then became revealed in Chokhmah, etc. Because the entire will to bestow that existed in the emanator now becomes the will to receive in the emanation. And the emanation feels complete justification. It's going to enjoy like a child that opens his mouth and his mother feeds him with oatmeal or puts a binky in his mouth, and they give pleasure to each other through the will to receive. In Prinat Daled, he gives pleasure to Bina and Keter. But the only problem is that the will to receive appears and it's full and it's complete in Prinat Daled, and then the desire of Prinat Daled in him is not his own desire. It's a desire that comes from Bina. Meaning, I can enjoy, but my pleasure is also not a complete pleasure. Because it comes from above. Meaning, the pleasure that I feel, or that I grasp, I don't get it fully. Because the vessel in which I feel that pleasure, I receive it from someone, from the upper one. I have an impression of the upper one. And that's why it's not actually my pleasure. I want to feel it on my own. I want to know it on my own. And that's a flaw. That's a lack. And so it wants to receive that. And that leads him to a state where he feels that the will to enjoy was received from above, and that leads him to a shame. The rest we will continue.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson, but before we do, let's sing a song together.
שכל איש ידע שבו יש נר שדולק ואין נרו שלו כנר חברו צריך שכל איש יבין שעליו לעמול ולגלות את אור הנר ברבים להעיר לבבות רק ניצוץ לא ידיק את אור האהבה אבל יחד יהיה לכם קומה של קדושה רק בינינו נדליק את אור האהבה לשלבת גדולה שכל איש ידע שבו יש נר שדולם ונרו שלו כנר חברו צריך שכל איש יבין שעליו לעמול ולגלות את אור הנר ברבים רק ניצוץ לא ידליק את אור האהבה אבל יחד תהיה לכם קומה של קדושה רק בינינו נדליק את אור האהבה לשלבת גדולה רק ניצוץ לא ידליק